You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
You know that we're looking at Jesus, and he's been dealing with the Festival of Booths. Jesus has come into this high holy day, and he's talked about this festival that's been going on, that God told Israel, do this festival to remember that I took you out of Egypt, and while you were out of Egypt, I provided for you. I took care of you. I made sure that you had food. I made sure that you had water. I made sure that there was light. I made sure that you had leadership. I made sure that you had direction. And as we've been walking through the Gospel of John, we've had the writer of John tell us that Jesus is greater than Moses. And then John is teaching us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the festivals and the imagery of what's going on. And then we had John talk about that, and he said, okay, many people believed that Jesus was who he said he was. And what we're dealing with last Sunday and this Sunday is people who believe. What I'm going to ask you to do today is I'm going to ask you as best you can to be humble. I'm going to ask you to notice when your pride starts to come up and you get defensive and you get angry and you start to attack. And I want you to see that the people that are talking to Jesus who are having a face-to-face encounter, Jesus has invaded their lives and they're not comfortable. These are believers. They're not comfortable. And Jesus engages with them and he talks with them and he asks them to do some things and it makes them uncomfortable. And because they're uncomfortable, they react in attacking. Now, I know there's two different groups that are present. One group is absolutely silent and they're not talking. They're upset with what Jesus has done, but they're quiet. What they've probably done is they were stepped forward and they were engaged with Jesus, and then Jesus said some things they didn't like, and so they stepped away with their bodies. They backed away from Jesus. They didn't speak, they didn't argue verbally, but physically, through the display of where they stood, they argued by leaving Jesus. So you're going to be one of two people. You're going to be the person who verbalizes your angst, or you're going to be somebody who physically verbalizes your angst by backing away from what Jesus is doing. Last Sunday, in chapter 8, John chapter 8, verses 31 through 47, we learned in verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." What Jesus is saying is if you truly hang out with me, if you stay engaged with me, if you hold on to me, you're my disciples. Let me tell you something right now. If you start arguing with the master, you're not a disciple. If you disengage and you back away from the master, you're not a disciple. And what I'm trying to share with you guys is this is hard because there's some times when we verbally attack God and there's other times where we physically try to detach from him. And yet we claim we're believers. We claim we're disciples. And the world who are not believers and are not disciples look at Christians and go, man, they're hypocrites. And we try to argue with them. What we have to do is get real. What we have to do is get real and start answering, following God is hard. Because I'm selfish. And I want things my way. And God seems to want things his way. And there's a struggle. And because I'm not a good follower of God, I fight with him longer than I should. Years ago, I realized I should never join any of the military branches because I don't do well with directions. I could not be in the United States military because they would say, Private Brown, and I would go, what? Private Brown, come over here. Why? Private Brown, I'm your superior. Get over here. Says who? I would be in something that people call the brig. I would be in something that I would be insubordinate and I would be in massive trouble. And a lot of you sitting here in this room graciously just for a moment giggle and realize you couldn't be in the military either. Okay? But one of the things is when we come to Jesus and we recognize that Jesus is our Savior and Lord, we are His. Now, in our language, we try to say that Jesus is ours. He is mine. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You are His, and He is the one who's in control. And so last week, I taught you guys, when I abide in Christ, I am truly free. My works and my lifestyle show who my eternal Father is. And to hear the words of God, I have to abide in God. And I shared with you, and you guys can giggle, the four C's of how to hear the word of God and abide in Him. We've got to commit. We've got to connect. We've got to count on God. And we've got to continue in God. These are the things that true disciples do. Now, in the introduction, I had to talk about last Sunday's sermon because there's nothing worse than coming into a conversation in the middle of it. Have you ever walked into a conversation in the middle of it and two people are arguing? Now, there's certain behaviors that some people do. Some people just jump right in and just get in the fight and they have no idea what the argument is about. But there's some people who slow down for a moment and try to understand the context. Why are you fighting? You know, this person who's angry may legitimately need to be angry, and it may be appropriate for them to share with the other person how they've hurt them and communicate very clearly, do not do that again. But if you don't understand the context, you may jump in too quickly and shut down something that's actually healthy. And here we do, we jump into John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59, and Jesus is already in the middle of a discussion. And if you're here for the first time this week and you didn't hear last week's sermon, I invite you to listen to the podcast. I just invite you, just go back and read what happened and what went through the process. But what we have here is a situation where Jesus has said, abide in me, I am the truth, I am the way that you can have real life. And the group that he's talking to says, we don't want to abide in you, we already have something that's awesome. He's called Abraham. And Jesus goes, no, 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 no. I'm greater than Abraham. And this made him angry. Basically, Jesus showed up to something that they revered very high. And they claimed, man, this is what I'm all about. And Jesus said, no, you're really not about that. And so Jesus walks into their life and he confronts them. And he reveals to them who they truly are. And this group of people lashes out. That are recorded. I'm telling you, there's still some other people in the crowd who stepped back. But we learn about the people who verbally lash out. In verse 48, Jesus answered him, or the Jews answered him. Now, when it says the Jews, don't feel like it's the entire people group. This is the religious leaders. The religious leaders answer Jesus. They're listening to what Jesus is going on. They're fighting. They're upset. They're losing power. They're losing control. And so the leadership of the temple, the leadership of the synagogue respond back to Jesus. It says, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? That's a great way to enter into a conversation. Basically, what they've done is you think of the worst people on the earth. Jesus, aren't you an ISIS? Jesus, aren't you the Taliban? To our American media, Jesus, aren't you Russian? Because apparently Russia's bad. Okay? To somebody who's Asian, you would pick a different people group that had oppressed your people group, and you would choose your enemy, and you would accuse them, aren't you that person? In America, the 1950s, are you a communist? Here in Chicago, are you a Republican? Oh my gosh. Do you have conservative values? Do you know how to balance a checkbook? Get away from me. Okay? The new buzzword among Democrats is you're a progressive. So if you're a non-progressive Democrat, then you're an old-school Democrat. Ooh. And so the language is built to insult and to tear down and to disrespect. Why? Because when we as humans insult and disrespect and tear down, we feel that we don't have to listen to them. Now, I've been a pastor for a long time, for 20 years. One of the first things I've learned in church is when people don't want to listen to what their pastor says, they start complaining about who the pastor is. Listen, I'm not perfect. I will never be perfect. That's why I preach the gospel and I preach the scripture. I don't preach Nathan Brown. But if you don't like the scriptures and you don't like what Nathan Brown is teaching, you will say, I don't like the way he dresses. He doesn't dress in a suit. Some of you will be like, oh my gosh, Pastor Nathan has lost it. He's not even wearing shorts and flip-flops today. He's given in to the fundamentalists. He's wearing pants. Some of you guys will go, well, I don't like the translation that he uses. Some of you go, well, I don't like his voice, his tone. It's too high-pitched. It's not low. It's not beautiful. It's not warming when he speaks. I cannot listen to the truth with the way that he delivers it. Sometimes he speaks fast. Sometimes he speaks really incredibly slow. And what we do is when we don't like what the message is, we attack the messenger. Look at politics today. Doesn't matter what's going on. I've learned as I've been in the belly of the demon of the grossness of politics, basically, it doesn't matter what the other person does. We have to make sure it's bad. And right now, the news media does not like our president. 4 years ago, our news media loved our president. We had an immigration problem 4 years ago. And our media was silent when a certain president was in charge. And oh, by the way, they had the power to make changes, and they didn't. And now there's a new person in town, and they are attacking that person in any and every single way that they can, because they don't like what he's doing. And by the way, it doesn't matter what he does. They have already chosen, I don't like what you're doing. And so they will attack and insult him. One of the big things that I've heard massively is that he's a racist, that he's a sexist, that he has all these insanely, powerfully insulting words are being thrown out so casually and so quickly. What I'm trying to tell you is humanity has not changed in 2,000 years. You don't have to like the current president of the United States, but I do want to share with you, be very careful how flippantly you throw out insults at people. Be very careful. And here we have a group of people that God Almighty has shown up to, and they call him the lowest of the low. They call him a half-breed. Some of you guys understand what I'm talking about with the term half-breed. But not only half-breed, half-breed traitor. That's what they're calling Jesus. Jesus, you must be a half-breed traitor. And oh, by the way, you're demon-possessed. So let's just throw the thing on top of it. Here in America, we would go, you're crazy. You're mentally ill. Your brain doesn't work. We would insult people on their intelligence here in America. We would say, you're poor. You're from the wrong side of the country. For me, maybe you'd call me poor white trash because my parents and my grandparents came from Arkansas and from the part of Texas and from New Mexico that definitely didn't have anything. My parents, grandparents, or my parents' parents were migrant workers who picked cotton in California and walked through the agriculture and took care of that. My mother and father were some of the first people in our family to go to college. And so in our area, a cotton picker wasn't put on African Americans. A cotton picker in California was on white trash, is what they were called. Now, when I grew up, we would call them trailer park trash. So there's always been insults. Just think through your mind the insults that you have inside of your head. You have them. You'll throw them out. What they're doing is I'm going to insult Jesus because I don't want to listen to what he has to say. Same insults are happening today. The Bible's antiquated. No, it's not. Humans are just dumb. The Bible has been true for thousands of years, and humans have lined up for thousands of years to prove that it's wrong. Guess what's happened? It hasn't worked yet. So maybe, just maybe, we can go back to a sermon that I taught a couple weeks ago about listen to people who are truly authorities on the subject. And Jesus is the authority on eternal life, and he's speaking. Maybe we should listen to him. Rather than accusing him that he doesn't love me, rather than accusing me that he didn't give me the body that he was supposed to give me and he didn't give me the job that I'm supposed to get, rather than falling into this entitlement thing that we have in America, how about we sit back and we let him be superior and go, you know what? You probably have a better plan than I have. How about we do your plan? How about we do what you want to do? And I confess to you guys, as your pastor, it's hard for me. Like I said, I can't be in the military. I'm the same way with God. God, why do you want me to do that? How's that going to benefit me when you want me to go do that? How's that going to give you glory? Because God, I only want to do things that benefit me and give you glory. And God's like, Nathan, would you just please go do that? Oh, I'll think about it. And we wonder why the Christian church right now is dying. Because we have a lot of Christians sitting back thinking about it, pondering whether they want to be obedient. Now, here's what we need to understand. When I abide in the gospel of Christ, so here's the premise for what I'm going to teach on. There's a lot of negative stuff that we're going to go through, but I want to put a positive mindset on what we're going to look at. When you and I hold on to, when you and I embrace, when you and I are covered by the gospel, when we have the gospel of Christ all over us, there's going to be ways that we're going to respond. I can tell you right now, the way that people are responding to Jesus, they do not have the gospel all over them. And there are days, Christian, when you are faithing with everything that you got, but your flesh is responding. Christian, tell your flesh, shut it. Get over there. You're on timeout. Turn to your spirit and go, okay, you got to help out. But that's not what we do. What we do is flesh gets in the way and we think, oh, I should feed that because this is going good. And we give it more energy and we give it more food and we give it more time and it grows bigger and bigger and bigger and our spirit gets smaller and smaller and smaller because there's only so much space. What we have to do is we have to get our flesh to get small so that our spirit can grow. And most of us in this room, God Almighty is showing up going, kill that. Get rid of that flesh thing. I don't like that attitude. Get rid of that because he wants the Spirit of God to grow in you. And what I want is, no, God. Give me a pill. I'll take the magic pill. I will sleep for 3 minutes. I don't even want to do like a whole night sleep. 3 minutes. And then that will shrink my flesh and the Spirit will grow. Let's do it the easy way, Jesus. Does he ever do it that way? No. Okay. So when we go through this passage, let's think about this, that we will abide in the gospel of Christ. And the gospel is simply this. As humans, we're broken in relationship with God. And in order to be in relationship with God, we have to be perfect. And none of us are. Jesus was sent by God to walk on the earth as a man and as God to bridge that gap, to give his life as atonement for our sin that we broke relationship with, to make it right so that we could have the opportunity to reconnect with God for all eternity. And people have a choice. You have a choice. Do I connect with God for all eternity or do I disconnect from God for all eternity? And for those of us who've chosen, we're going to connect to God for all eternity. Then we walk in the gospel. For those of you who have chosen, I do not want to connect to God and I do not want to be with him all for eternity. Enjoy this life. Guys, you need to understand as a pastor, people come to me, they're like, Pastor, people who don't believe in God are doing crazy things. Let them. Let them. Let them. Shouldn't we go out there and yell at them and tell them they're wrong? Will it work? Well, Pastor, you told us don't argue with people who are self-righteous. And yeah, they won't work. Okay, then don't. How about when they show up and they go, hey, I got a question. Why don't you share with them? So we look at this and we abide in the gospel. Number one, we will respond in grace. Jesus responds in grace. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the commander of God's army, in charge of so many angels we cannot count, and one angel can wipe out 300,000 men at his simple voice. Jesus is insulted and he's called a half-breed, he's called a traitor, and he's called that he's demon-possessed. Jesus could have brought the smackdown. You know what I'm saying? Somebody in here say, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Because some of you guys have brought the smackdown for something less. Okay? Jesus was insulted at his core, and Jesus responds in grace. How does he respond in grace? Well, it's really interesting. Jesus answered. He says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Jesus completely ignores that he was called a half-breed and a traitor, because Jesus knows he's not a half-breed. Jesus knows where he comes from. Jesus knows that he is the Son of God. Jesus knows that he is the chosen one. Jesus knows that he's the name above all names. Jesus knows that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess at the end. Jesus, you are the man. He doesn't have to tell people who he is. He feels secure in it, and he doesn't argue it at all. He ignores it graciously and gracefully. He ignores it. When was the last time you ignored an insult that was a lie, that was not true about you? When was the last time someone said something about you and you just let it go and you didn't put it in your brain and let it just run on loop, on repeat, again and again and again? When was the last time you heard somebody say something about you that was so false it wasn't even worth considering it? Christian, learn how to move things to the side and let it go. Give it grace. Thank you for sharing that. I will file it over here in the garbage and move on. Move on. It's a great filing cabinet. I respond in grace. When I abide in the gospel of Christ, I respond in grace. I'm going to give you 7 things you can do as a Christian that can really help you out. Number one, when you're in these tough situations, respond in grace. Recognize that somebody who's hurt is hurting you. Just recognize somebody who's hurt is hurting you and give them grace. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. Somebody may come at you and throw some shade at you or throw some insult at you or throw, yeah, I'm hip. Somebody may act the fool for those of us who are in the 2000s. Okay? I see that hand. I hear that you're saying this, but I honor my God. I hear what you're communicating, and I'm going to go pray and ask God if this is something I need to change. Heavenly Father, is this something that's true in my life? Holy Spirit, if this is true, convict me that I might change, that I might be different. But God, if this is not true, let's let it go. Point number one is I respond in grace. Point number two is I respond in honor. Notice Jesus says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. And you dishonor me. So Jesus is actually kind of brutal. He does bring the truth. It doesn't mean that he just completely lets things go. But sometimes grace says thank you and no at the same time. Thank you and no. As a pastor, people come to me all the time with all these crazy ideas, which are fun, crazy ideas. Say, Pastor, we should... And I said, well, thank you so much for sharing that. No, we're not going to do that at this time. I was being gracious. Why was I being gracious? Because I let them share something crazy with me. And I listened to the entirety of what they had to say. And then I gave them a response because I have to honor my King. And God has told me as a pastor, do this. And anytime somebody comes and asks me to do something that God has not asked me to do, I graciously have to say, currently I have to do this. Sorry, I can't do that. This is what I need to do. So you can be gracious and say no, because you're honoring your Heavenly Father. Verse 50, Jesus says, yet I do not seek my own glory, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Point number three, I give glory to God, and I don't try to be the judge, and I don't try to seek glory. Guys, understanding? I get in so much trouble as a Christian and as a man and as just a human when I try to seek my own glory. Does anybody else try to seek their own glory in this room? I try to seek my own glory by getting a higher paying job. I try to seek my own glory by getting a nicer house. I try to get nicer kids. I try to get nicer dogs. I try to get nicer friends. I try to get a nicer church. I try to upgrade. I want an upgrade. I want an upgrade. Right? Don't you want an upgrade? How many guys, you get a rental car, you always go to the rental car counter. Hey. How is your day? My day has been phenomenal with an opportunity to get greater. You want to be a part of making someone's life greater? Upgrade. We all want to upgrade. We all want to upgrade. But God says those who humble themselves, who lower themselves, will be lifted up. Hey, I got a SUV. We don't need an SUV. We probably need like a subcompact. Can you downgrade me? Who's anybody walk to the counter and ask for a downgrade? Hey, is it a, I want to pay more and get less. Can you downgrade me? They would look at you like you're crazy. Say, wait a minute, what's wrong? You're like, you know, God's really trying to teach me humility. And I keep trying to, I was going to come here and ask for an upgrade for free. And that's really arrogant. I'm sure you get asked that question all the time. I'm so sorry. I probably need a downgrade. Have a great day. Can you imagine that poor worker so confused, not knowing what to do in that conversation? You see, when you seek glory for yourself, you put yourself in opposition to God and you're already fighting. When you want to be amazing, when you want to be beautiful, when you want to be loved, when you want to be powerful, when you want to be heard, you stop listening to God. When you want to be beautiful, you stop seeing the beauty in God. When you want to be powerful, you stop seeing His power. But somebody who is abiding in the gospel of God wants to give God glory. Let me tell you something right now. When I got married, upgrade. The other day, we were here doing testimony time, and some fools got up and totally gave props to their wives. And I had to get up and preach next. And I was like, God, God's like, be quiet, be quiet. Don't throw shade at Nick and Andy. Upgrade. Upgrade. My kids, upgrade. My church, upgrade. Do you realize what God has put around you and how amazing it is? And His glory is so amazing, it is insane. I got Madge in my church. Upgrade. Upgrade. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? You can look at something and be angry and say, I do not have. Something my parents taught me when I was very young. They taught me delayed gratification. They said, Nathan, do not run out and try to gain everything that your mother and I have tried to build in 25 years. It has taken us 25 years to get to this place. Do not, in the first 5 years of you being an adult, try to have everything that we have. Because what you will have is you will have all the stuff and all the debt. I need you to understand we are debt free and we have all the stuff. So let me ask you, we talked about slavery before. If you are in debt to something, do you really own it? It owns you. Some of us want to be entitled and we want to live the American dream now, but we're not willing to put in the work and the effort. We're not willing to start at the bottom and work our way to the top. Our mindset is, I have graduated from college. I have all this information. I have no experience, but I deserve to be CEO. Let me tell you something right now, humans. We do not want someone who has massive amounts of information and no experience being in charge. Stop voting for them. Okay, I'll move on. Did you like that? Did you like that? That had nothing to do with anything other than everything. Okay. All right, I respond in grace when I abide in the gospel of Christ. I respond in honor when I abide in the gospel of Christ. And I give glory to God when I abide in the gospel of Christ. Christian, when you're not giving honor, when you're not giving grace, when you're not giving glory, recognize, uh-oh, maybe my spouse isn't the problem. Maybe my kids are not the problem. Maybe my boss is not the problem. Maybe my neighbor is not the problem. Maybe, just maybe, aha. I'm the problem. Verse 51. Truly, truly, anytime you see truly, 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 truly in Greek is amen, amen. I've taught you guys this many times. Whenever something is repeated, it's super important. When something is repeated super close, it's even more important. I learned from my parents that was true. I learned the value of a middle name. When my parents said, Nathan Shay, oh, once middle name came out, I knew it was business time. I better get wherever it was quick and blame my brother. Truly, truly, Jesus is saying, you better listen. We're having this conversation. You better listen. Some of the Christians in this room, you are having some truly, truly moments right now with God. God has asked you to do something. You've said, I don't know how I feel about it. And he's given you some time. And now God Almighty has shown up and he said, truly, truly, it is time. In my house, that's how it is. My family, they do tons of stuff. They have this thing where they'll grab stuff and they'll put it down in a place inside of my house. I will start the clock. All right, if that is still there in 7 days, I can do anything I want to it. Throw it away, burn it, huck it out the house, whatever I want to do. Give it to the postman. I'll do whatever I want with it. And if you left something there that long, you've got no response. You had plenty of time to handle it. Some of us, God Almighty is showing up and he's saying something's been sitting for 7 days. Maybe 7 months, maybe 7 years. And he's saying, truly, truly. Christian, when God Almighty says, truly, truly, listen, non-Christian, those of you who are seeking God, when God shows up and says, truly, truly, your eternal destination is at stake. Listen, and then respond correctly. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Truly, truly, if someone abides with me, if someone hangs out with me, if someone is in me, they will not see death. Jesus is saying, I am your meal ticket. I am your all-access pass. I am the person who can get you into eternity. Nobody else can. You want to hang out with me. Point number four, I keep his word. I hang out with him. I spend time with him. I abide in him. I read his scriptures and it hurts me. And it affects me. And it changes me. And it confronts me. But I stay in it. I don't step away from it. And I don't yell at it. I stay in it. I'm loyal to God. I'm there. I've got two dogs. I've got a loyal one and an unloyal one. If you've hung out, you know which one's which. Okay? I've got one that is up next to you, and they are there, and they are with you, and they are loyal, and the other one is looking for a better family and a better opportunity. just checking things out. That looks like a nice family just came over. You need me to go with you? I don't have to stay here. I can go with you. Some of you guys are like that. You're like that with God. You're not loyal. You're always looking for the next thing. God's like, what you looking at? You're like, nothing. You're not looking at me. I know. Look at me. I'm looking over there. You're looking at the grass that's greener on the other side. Let me help you out. It is built on a septic tank. It's green grass. Don't get me wrong, but do not step in it. Point number one, I respond in his grace when I abide in Christ. I respond in honor when I abide in Christ. I give glory to God when I abide in Christ. I keep his word when I abide in Christ. We're seeing some amazing things on Wednesday nights and Thursday mornings. People who are now in the scriptures again and again and again and again. I'm watching their lives change super exponentially fast. I'm literally watching them go boop, 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 boop. For those of you guys who play video games, they are leveling up 10 levels at a time. Okay? For some of you guys who don't understand that, they jump 4 pay raises. See, what I'm trying to say is they're spending time in the gospel and they're talking to each other. And what's hilarious is they're infecting each other with the gospel and then they're literally all going up together. It's awesome to watch. Keep his word. 52, the Jews said to him, the religious leaders, now we know that you have a demon. They're not done. They're not done. They're not happy with what he's saying. They don't like what he's saying. And so they're going to insult him again so they don't have to listen. Some of you guys insult God by saying he's not a good provider. Some of you guys insult God by saying he's not a good father. Some of you guys insult God by saying, I don't want to do what you tell me to do. And some of you insult him blatantly just by yelling no. How about we are people who say yes? How about we're real and we go, okay, God, you know I want to say no. You know that I want to say no, but I know that I'm supposed to say yes. But the truth is, I don't have the power to say yes and follow through on my yes. So God, I need your help. And God's like, oh, so you're finally understanding the process. I ask you to do something you cannot do in your own power. I ask you to do something that you have to have me help you with. I remember with Leah and Shay, when they were little kids, sometimes just for fun, I'd ask them to grab something super high. And they're like, I can't get it. And I'd be like, okay, I can pick you up. Pick them up. And they could grab it, and I could put it back down. And I was like, see how Daddy helped you? They're like, I could have climbed. I'm like, oh, you're the sin in me is in you. Here we go. God sometimes is asking us to do things we cannot do. But what he wants us to do is realize, I can't do it unless you do it in and through me. Somebody should have written that down. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Problem. Jesus is talking eternal, and they're thinking physical flesh today. Jesus is talking outside of humanity, and they're thinking humanity. Some of you guys, you're thinking that God Almighty isn't loving on you and he's not taking care of you. But let me tell you something. Scripture tells me that all godliness that is built in you is good for today and for eternity. All godliness, all character, all patience, all love, all tenderness, all grace, all that you are learning in this life is good for eternity. Alexis is not good for eternity. Not Alexis Parcio. Alexis, a car, is not good for eternity. Okay? Your house, your apartment, your condo, your crib is not good for eternity because my God is already building you a new house. Don't bring your old one. And I'm talking about the physical place you live in, and I'm talking about your body. He's building something better for you. And we've got to get to a point that when we listen to Jesus talk, he's talking in layers. Don't jump into the physical human layer and stay there. This week, when we were talking about Hebrews, we were talking about rest. And everybody's minds were just blown as we're talking about the rest of God and the rest of God. If you don't know what I'm talking about, walk around after church and ask somebody, did you go to Bible study? Did you go to Bible study? You go, they'll tell you. Verse 53, they start to argue more. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? So this great guy that we think is so amazing, we just admitted that he died. And Jesus is like, yeah, I kind of know Abraham really well. He says, and the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. How many of you guys are watching YouTubers? How many of you guys are watching people on Instagram? Just the Kardashians glorifying themselves, right? If you glorify yourself and you hype yourself with your own hype, with your own brands, how big are you really? You're not. But if other people show up and go, no, this person's amazing, how big are you? You can be amazing. Jesus is saying, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. Mic drop. So you're saying the Father of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Father of the name above all names is the one who says you're awesome? Think of that moment when you meet Jesus face to face and you're about to walk into eternity and Jesus goes, you're mine. And you're like, this is amazing. He's like, yeah, wait till you meet the Father. Come on in. Let's go meet the Father. This is the one you've been disconnected from for so long. This is the one you will be connected to for all eternity. Come on, let's meet the Father. Dang! That's amazing. Upgrade. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. He's saying, what you claim is your God is the one that glorifies me. I keep his word. I give glory to God. I respond in honor. I respond in grace. And I hold God as supreme above all things. So I don't let other things get in the way. If I am in the gospel, I understand that God rescued me. And man, I want to love him with everything that I got. He's in charge. I wrap my schedule around him. Some of you guys, you want God to wrap his schedule around you. Now, let me share with this. I'm going to pretend next Sunday all of you are not coming to this church anymore. You're all going to a different church. Let me give you some huge advice. Set your week based upon gathering together with other believers, glorifying God, and never miss it. See, I want you to understand, my mindset is you're going to another church. It's not self-serving to me. What I'm talking about is that Sunday is your number one day. Let me listen to you. I'm going to discipline some of you guys. I'm going to come up. I'm going to get up in your face. I'm going to get right up in. I'm going to put right here. There is no reason other than you vomiting and having a fever that if you are in town, you miss church. Staying out late on Saturday night, early in the Sunday or Sunday morning is not an excuse that you wake up in the morning and you are too tired to spend time with God. Think about the most famous person that you would love to meet in life. The most famous person on earth that you would love to meet in life. And if they were going to be available at Sunday at 10 a.m., would you get there? I would. I'd be like, hi, Justin Timberlake. Nice to meet you. Where's Jimmy Fallon? I would. I would move heaven and earth to be there. Why don't we? It's because we insult the Father, we get fleshly, and we don't see him as supreme and above all things. We think him as kind of an add-in at the very end. If I have time, I'll take care of him. Listen, you give him your first fruits. You give him your best, and your first, and then everything else gets it. Most humans give the world everything else, and what they have left, they give to God. And let me share something with you. I'm going to be brutal. You can have that life. You can have that life. But I have watched Christians who are older than me give God their first, and I have watched God overbless them, and they can't even handle it. And I have watched stingy, arrogant, prideful Christians who give God their last stuff complain that they still don't have. Oh, you're going to manipulate God. That's not going to work. God is going to go, no, get your life right, get it in gear. I'll make sure you have, but get in gear. I hold God as supreme above all things. It says, it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Put God in the right place. Put him as supreme. Some of you guys, Pastor Mike and I and other people in the church, pray about everything. Really, Pastor, pray about everything? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Pray about everything. Maybe you should pray about if you should pray about everything. I'm cool with it. Okay? Pray about everything. My wife gets so frustrated with me. I pray about what dishwasher we should buy. The one time I didn't pray about the dumb dishwasher, we have a Samsung and I hate the dumb thing and I want to burn it, and finally Danielle's on board with me. I pray over my appliances. I walk by, I put my hand on the fridge. Oh Lord, keep this thing running. I pray for my cars. I pray for my backyard. I pray for the grass that we're going to be on for a barbecue. I pray over the basement. I pray over the water lines. I pray over my neighbors. I pray over the street. I pray over. Why? Because I've learned I don't pray enough. My wife has a thing that pops up on her phone every once in a while, and it pops up on her computer every once in a while, and it breaks my heart of what it says. It says, pray that Nathan would pray more. And I recognize I still don't pray enough. When you abide in the gospel of Christ, you recognize you don't have enough and you desire to give even more. When your finances are soaked in the gospel of Christ, you want to give God more. When your car and your asset and your house and your home and your body and your work are soaked in the gospel of God, you want to give more. But when it's not soaked in the gospel, you want to give less. I keep his word. I hold him as supreme of all things. In verse 55, when I hold him as supreme above all things, but you have not known him. Jesus is brutal to them. You have not known God, but Jesus says, I know him. Why does Jesus know God? Because he abides in him. How can you know Jesus? Abide in him. He says, I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. Jesus is brutal. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Christian, if you know God, you keep his word. Some of us are struggling because we feel like we want to know God more, and God has revealed to us that we don't know him enough, and we have this desire that we want to know him more. The way to know him more is to keep his word more. He's going to reveal more of himself the more you take him in. It says your father Abraham rejected, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. You see, Abraham knew him and you can know him. I know him when I abide in the gospel. Just like Abraham, just like God knowing Jesus, just like Jesus knowing God. It says in verse 56, he saw it and was glad. Verse 57, notice the response again. The response is wrong. The Jews, they don't stop and slow down and go, okay, hey, what are you really trying to say? We're lost. They argue again. They're prideful. They're vicious. They're going at Jesus. And they say, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? And Jesus says to them, truly, truly, something important is about to be said. I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus slams the door on the conversation. Previous, Jesus has said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am, and he's given a noun. He said, I am the water. Whoever drinks of me will never thirst. I am living water. I am the light of the world. And then Jesus just simply stops and says, I am. Now, for the Bible studier, for those of us who are in the Gospels, for those of us who've gone Old Testament, good OT every once in a while, we know that when Moses shows up and he shows up to God and God says, I want you to do this incredible thing. I want you to do this crazy action. I want you to go into Pharaoh and I want you to get my people out. And Moses says, do you have a business card? If I show up to Pharaoh, who should I say sent me? And God the Father says, and I believe Jesus standing in the burning bush talking to Moses face to face says, I am. Tell Pharaoh, I am. And Jesus right here says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus just claimed to be God standing in the temple courts in front of the temple priests. He didn't say, I'm living water. He didn't say, I'm the bread of life. He didn't say, I'm the light of the world. He said, I'm God. Some people say Jesus never said he was God. He never claimed to be God. Only his disciples said he was God. This is Jesus saying, I'm God. So much so that we look at how the people respond next. Because if he didn't say he was God, why did the people respond the way they responded? Watch the response of the people in the temple courts. They're religious leaders having a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm God. The highest blasphemy he could say. Worse than being called a Samaritan and demon-possessed would be to blaspheme and claim that you are God. Especially when you're not, but Jesus is. Jesus says, I am. In verse 59, it says, so they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Let me jump back up. The seventh point is, I have to have an eternal perspective. You can look at your life just as today. You can look at your life right now, okay, at 11:11 a.m., you can look at your life right now and think, okay, Pastor Nathan's going to wrap up in the next 13 minutes. Normally he ends his sermon about 11:15. Worship team gets up. And you can start living in the now of the present time as a human right here on this earth. Or you can live with an eternal perspective and understand that everything that God Almighty is putting into you and putting you through will be for his glory and absolutely for your benefit in eternity. The pain that you and I are going through, the things that we do not get. Scripture says, if one of my kids asks for a serpent, would I give it to him? No. Some of the things we're asking for would destroy us. How many of you guys have ever asked God to help you win the lottery? Come on, be real. Come on. You even told him how much you would give. Come on. Come on. The only three of us? Okay, that's why we're so poor as a church. Come on. No. Only three of us will admit it. Have you seen the stories on cable TV of people who won the lottery and how their lives were ruined? They weren't good with money before, and when they got tons of money, they weren't good with tons of money. Back where they were. I have to have an eternal perspective. So do you. I get it. It's tough. It's difficult. It's painful. But if you're going to build your character, if you're going to build your spirit, you have to do spiritual exercise. Step into it. Hold on to it. My encouragement to you guys today is I get that it's hard to abide in the gospel of Christ. It's hard. But you were never designed to do it on your own. You were never designed to hold on and abide on your own. You were never designed in your own power, in your own strength, to be able to hold on to God. You never were. The way you're designed is that through the power of God in you, you can hold on. But when you start to think, I'm holding on, you're not holding on. You were designed always to depend on God to give you power so that you can abide. Christian, if you're struggling abiding in God, ask for his power. Ask for his help. Say, Jesus, I have problems responding in grace. I have problems responding in honor. God, I have problems giving you glory. Lord, I struggle reading your word. It's so boring. Oh my gosh, it's boring. I've read the stories before. I'm tired of them. Can you please write a new story? God's like, no, go read it again. You missed it. God, putting you above all things is so hard. There's some really cool stuff happening. God, they're having rib fest. Right? Whatever festival, Taste of Chicago, whatever your issue is. Okay? God, I'm so distracted. I need your help. God, I need to put you in front of where it needs to be. God, I want to know you, but it's hard to know you because I get distracted. I get so distracted. You start talking to me and I start listening and then I see a bird and I just watch the bird go. And I was like, what did you say, God? Help me, God. Have an eternal perspective too. Don't try to get everything done today. Don't try to have everything done this week. How about we all just take a deep breath and say this? He who began a good work in me, okay? He who began a good work in me, God, who started the work of salvation and justification in me, he who started it is going to be the one who completes it. How about I just let him complete it? How about I let him do in me what he wants to do to accomplish his kingdom? That would be awesome. I can't do that on my own because my flesh gets in the way, so I have to go back again and go, God, help me do that. Help me abide in you. Here's the application. Worship team, come on forward. Here's a simple application. Abide in the gospel of Christ. That's your homework. You guys actually have homework this week. Just abide. Notice opportunities when you can give grace, when you can give honor, when you can give glory, when you can put God as supreme, when you can sit in his word, when you can know him and you can see him. Look at the opportunities. They're going to be everywhere this week. Allow the gospel to visit you and change you. By the way, the gospel keeps showing up in you and I because there's more change that needs to happen. Amen? Let's bless God. Let's stand up together. And literally, this is what I want you guys to do. If you're comfortable, raise your hands to God and say, God, would you please change me? Just raise your hands up. God, would you please change me? Now, in my selfishness, I want to pray a prayer of God, would you please change that person? No. God, would you please change me? Amen? Let's sing together.